If you have your testament with you tonight, I would like to read a few portions. The first, please, in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 23. The Gospel by Luke, chapter 23. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Turn back, please, to chapter 15. The last phrase of chapter 14 belongs rightly to this chapter. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. The next reading is in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. The Acts chapter 13. The wonderful book of the Acts, chapter 13. Verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell in sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified, cleared from every charge of guilt, from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. My last reading is in John chapter 18. Gospel by John chapter 18. Pilate's words in verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all, but ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. We are absolutely sure that the reading of the Word of God will be blessed of God here tonight. When the Lord Jesus commenced his earthly ministry, he stood up where he was brought up, and he opened the book, and he began to read. He knew where to read and what to read and when to cease reading. And we have wondrous words recorded concerning the drawing power of the reading of the Word of God. The eyes of all them that were in the place were fastened upon him, and they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. So we pay attention to the public reading of the Scripture. In some places it's a very minor part of the ministry, but to us it plays a vital part. Yea, it is more important than all that we shall say upon it. The life-giving Word of God. The Savior said in his day, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And I believe the water there is a figure of the cleansing power of the ministry of the Word of God. The new birth is brought about through the Word. Now in these Scriptures, while I've read so many places, what I'm going to say will be extremely simple, and I trust also that it will be appealing to the hearts of those who know not the Savior. Here we are the last Saturday night of our series of meetings. And as we have heard, many have come and have gone, some have received. But the greatest number that have attended of the unsaved are yet without Christ, no more saved than if they had never heard the call of the gospel. And I hope tonight that it may be otherwise with you, that ere you leave this auditorium, you may have Christ as your Savior, heaven as your home, and peace that the world cannot give, and peace that the world can never take away, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. In these Scriptures we have again the person of our Lord Jesus Christ presented to our view, and that is the ultimate in all gospel preaching, whether it be the warning note, whether we speak of the near return of Christ, the reality of death, and the sureness of a heaven and a hell. We have ever in mind the fact that our hearers might get a glimpse of the Christ of God. Behold him, the Lamb that suffered, for without seeing him, you will never be saved. And the way that he's lifted up in 1978 before the view of man is in the preaching of the old-time gospel of redeeming love. Now in these Scriptures he is presented as this man. I read in chapter 23 of Luke the confession of a dying robber, and he uttered these tremendous words of testimony, and I'm sure the Lord appreciated it, and I believe the Father appreciated it, that dying malefactor confessed the Savior before man. Notice what he said to his fellow companion. We indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He compared himself and his fellow with this man, and he placed this man above all others. He is compared in this text, as far as I'm concerned, with the whole world of sinners and every man that was ever in it. We can all say, we received the due reward of our deeds. That is, if we were to perish in our sins. Some people have a notion that God is too gracious to punish anyone, and that God is a God of love, and he will dispense mercy to everyone. Not one of us who are saved ever deserved to be saved. Not one of us who will ever be in heaven will turn up there and say, I'm here because I merited divine love. All we had ever merited was the wages of our sins. Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. The due reward of our deeds, because we were all sinners and everyone in this company, high and low, rich and poor, whatever your religion, whatever persuasion you may have, whatever color your skin, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we receive the due reward of our deeds if we went down into hell and under the judgment of God. But this man, he is the peerless one. And what I have here is a comparison between all men and Christ. This man hath done nothing amiss. Here we have the sinlessness, the perfections, the absolute purity of this man. There's no gospel to preach if men deny the purity and impeccability and sinlessness of our Savior. And if I use that word impeccability, there are many young people here, it simply means that it was impossible for Christ to sin. Sin was not in his nature. His nature was blameless. There was only one man that ever walked in this world that was absolutely sinless. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He thought no sin. The purity, sinlessness, and absolute moral perfections of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you find one flaw in him, he cannot be the Savior. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Blameless, pure, holy, absolutely beyond reproach. Without a flaw and without a sin. Do you believe it tonight? It's one of the first steps in getting to heaven. It's to understand everyone in the world is black, undone, and hell-deserving. But there is one who is purer than all, without a blemish and without a spot, the Holy Son of God. This man hath done not one thing out of place. But now we come to the second wonderful presentation of this man. And I read in Hebrews chapter 10 another scripture. And here he is compared with other men in other ages, with priestly men. Every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which could never take away sin. This takes me back to the Old Testament, to the Jewish economy, and the law of ceremonies and offerings. And there we see, as they journeyed through, they shed rivers of blood. The desert was stained with blood. We hear the cry of lambs as the knife was plunged into the breast of bullocks and of goats. We see the birds and their blood flowing on the desert sand, rivers of blood. Blood on the horns of the altar, and priests standing daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. For those sacrifices could never take away sins. All the blood that was ever shed at the Jewish altar, all the oceans of blood that filled their censers, all the blood that was ever sprinkled upon the mercy seat and before it, all that blood covered for a period of time. It was a temporary covering, but could never put away sins from before the face of God. But those types were pointing to the final man that would come. Those types were pointing to the last great offering, once and for all, never to be repeated. And I love those words, every priest standing daily offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. But this man, the sinless man, the man of Galilee, the man of sorrows, the man that walked down here for 33 years, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens, never to be repeated. One offering, and we are here tonight to announce in your ears that there is one only way to be saved, and that is through the poured out life's blood of this man, the sinless Christ upon the cross. What did he do? He became answerable to God in the room instead of guilty men, laid down his life for the sheep, and made ample provision for the need of the world. If I didn't believe there was a provision made at Calvary large enough to save a world of all sinners, we're wasting our time in these gospel meetings. But I have believed it now for 35 years that God so loved the world. There's not a man here tonight that was left out of that provision. Christ died upon the cross and has made ample provision for the need of the whole world, whoever he may be. He offered one sacrifice for sins and forever sat down in the glory, never to offer another sacrifice. Hearken to his words. It is finished. Are you a sinner tonight on the way to hell, ruined and undone and unjust, a rejecter of God's mercy to this hour? We point you to the sinless man, the only sinless man. But we point you to Calvary, where the sinless man became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans 4 tells us who was delivered up for our offenses. 1 Corinthians 15:3, the gospel that we declare unto you is this, by which you are saved if you keep in memory what we preached unto you. What is it? Christ died for our sins. He was there as a sin bearer. He was there to endure the wrath that our sins deserved. And on that cross, he sustained the whole wrath divine. And when he drained that bitter cup, he cried, "It is finished." The work is done tonight. And you can leave this Minkler Auditorium, the most of you here, these younger people, many of them here strangers to me, and some attending that we hear about from time to time, that have never sat in meetings of this nature, and you may never hear it again. I want to tell you tonight, as a faithful servant, and our brother too, both of us will tell you tonight, that the only way to be saved is through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Redeemer Jesus Christ. This man offered one sacrifice for sins forever and sat down at the right hand of God, a mighty Savior. Paul preaches the same message. We have traced the sinlessness of this man, the offering of this man. Now Paul traces his path to the glory, and he compares him with all other men, even with David and with Moses. And he says, David is not ascended into the heavens. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel, the greatest king that Israel had, the sweet singer of Israel. His psalms will be sung forever. And that man served in his own generation. But thank God there's a man in the glory that serves every generation. There's one up there that is available in every generation to the sons of men. David served in his own generation and fell asleep. His body has seen corruption. He has not ascended into the heavens. But this man that we preach, is no longer walking the hillsides of Galilee, no longer walking along the beach of the Lake of Gennesaret, no longer feeding multitudes, no longer seen in the world, and his offering is complete, and they took him down from the tree, and they laid him in a garden tomb, and rolled a stone to the door of that sepulchre, and the soldier stood before to keep watch as he lay in the silence of the tomb. But thank God, death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, and we believe in the literal, physical resurrection of our Lord and Redeemer. Blessed be His holy name. He has gone from the tomb. The tomb is empty. And from the slopes of the Mount of Olives, He soared upward with joy filling His heart and with the delight of having pleased the Father and accomplished our redemption. And He has gone up where David in body has never been. Beyond the clouds, there's a man in the glory, and He has entered into heaven itself, appearing in the presence of God for us. Listen, be it known unto you. God wants you to know it. Be it known unto you, therefore, men, brethren, that through this man, what man? The man that's in heaven. The man that died on the cross and rose again. Through this man. Not through this man's mother. Not through any other man or saint or angel. But through this man, the glorified Christ in heaven. Through this man is preached. And we are not here tonight to give lectures. We are not here to give sermons to tickle the ear. We are here to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit the gospel of Christ. Preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Through this man is preached unto you as an individual. I'm here to make it to you personally tonight. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe. That's your responsibility. You can come to this meeting and hear of a sinless Christ, hear of a man that was different from all others in his sinless purity. Hear of a man that was different from all other priests in that he himself offered a complete and eternal sacrifice which was himself. And you can hear that he's different from all other men insomuch that he has a body in the glory. There's a man in heaven at the right hand of God, living, able to save, able to keep, able to satisfy, able to guide us safely home. Through all the stormy way, what a man, what a friend tonight we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Are you here tonight? And you've heard this, and you know it to be true, but you've never benefited. Why? Because you are a responsible being. And what you do with this man will determine where you will be when your journey is done. You go on through life neglecting salvation, spurning this man, refusing Christ to be your Savior, closing your heart's door, heeding not the call of God, trifling, neglecting, refusing to believe. The Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. When the Savior sent men to preach, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then He added these tremendous words, and we were not sent to preach politics or economics or sciences. We were sent to preach the gospel of Christ in the words of Scripture and to quote it in the ears of men. And when I first saw these words in Mark 16:16, I trembled at them. That as a result of that preaching, there would be those that would believe the message. And they would be saved. But do you know what it says? He that believeth not. And I'm long enough preaching the gospel, and matured enough, I trust in my spiritual experience. And I hope tonight that I have enough of the fear of God about me to quote it in reverence. For it's not for a novice. What does it say? He that believeth not shall be damned. Are you listening? He that believeth not shall be damned. Man, you'll be damned in the lake of fire if you fail to lay hold upon the man that died upon the cross of Calvary as your own personal Savior, acknowledging that you're a lost sinner on the way to the pit, turning from the world that has enamored you and from companions that are robbing you of your interest and the devil that's whispering, put it off a little longer, for the world seems now so bright. What are you going to do in this Winkler Auditorium? Not with the preachers, not with those that convene the meetings, not with religion, not with baptism, not with joining a religion, but what will you do with the man that was sinless, who made the complete atonement, who rose again and offers forgiveness on the principle of faith alone? Listen to it. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Will you have it tonight? Luke 15. This man receiveth sinners. I love it. It was spoken in derision. There's no other potentate receives sinners. There's no other man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But this man receiveth sinners. We sang, Christ receiveth sinful man. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful man. Maybe there's a man here, and you've sinned for years, and your sins are black and foul, and tonight you have a record of guilt. I don't know your past, but God requireth that which is past. And tonight there may be some young woman here, and you would blush if your sins were written on this curtain behind us. Maybe there's a man here and you've lived in sin and your mouth is full of cursing and bitterness tonight and you're lost if you die tonight. Where will you be in eternity in that condition? Heaven you cannot enter. But I'm glad to tell you Christ receiveth sinful men. When that prodigal came and said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, he received the kiss of welcome and the ring and the best robe. And when that man in the temple smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, I wonder tonight, will you take that ground and will you say tonight, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need Christ and I need him tonight for eternity. Pilate brought forth two men, Barabbas and Jesus. I have tried to bring forth Christ tonight in the sinless beauty of his pathway, in the wondrous completion of his atonement, in the glories of his resurrection, in the mercy that he offers to men and women and boys and girls in this auditorium tonight. But you have a choice to make. It's either the Barabbas of the world. I don't know what your Barabbas may be tonight. It may be a pleasure. It may be sport. It may be honor. It may be material things. It may be ungodly companions. It may be living for yourself. For we're living in a rebellious, self-sufficient age. And everyone has a Barabbas tonight that's unsaved, that's clamoring for your attention. It's either Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. You can't have both tonight. Neutral you cannot be. Do you know what their answer was? Not this man. Not this man. I wonder what your answer will be tonight. God help you in the closing moments as our brother preaches still, that you may not neglect so great salvation. But behold the Lamb who died and rose again for his name's sake.